I got a letter from a listener last week from Danielsville, actually. Yes, indeed. I want to read just a little bit to you. He says, you know, when you first came on with a friend of yours, I thought, what kind of Yahoo is this? This show sucks. He actually wrote that. And he got, talking about me, I got suckier and suckier as the weeks went on. The board guy is raising his hands like he's at a football game cheering along with his thumbs up. Really? I knew you would like this, board guy. So this guy goes on. He says, when your buddy left, you know, something changed the way you came across. And the show kind of grew on me, kind of like a skin cancer. You like that, board guy? Did you like that? Like a skin cancer, but yet I listened every Sunday. I guess you turned me into a Robert junkie. Until today, he says, he writes, at the end of the show, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, three, whatever. He says, you want to unclog the bathtub drain. Use your urine. Yuck! You disgusting pig, he says. He writes, if your wife heard this for the first time, don't be surprised if she performs a Lorena Bobbitt on you and takes your thing out to 22 and chucks it in front of a convoy of tractor trailers a mile long. Ha! Quite the writer this gentleman is from Danielsville. I used to live up there, up towards that way. And then he finally writes, but then that's Robert. And I guess the mix of scripture and grossness keeps me coming back. Good luck and good health to you and your family. God bless all of you. And then he writes, P.S. Hope you have a 40-year run like Gunther. I should be dead by then. That's what he writes. And that's part of it, most of it, his letter that he sent me. I don't know if he was criticizing me or complimenting me. Board guy, which was it? I don't know. But I do appreciate the letters. All you got to do is write to WAEB and give it attention to Don't Bring Up God. In fact, I got another letter today when I walked in here, when I waltzed in. Board guy handed me one. So yeah, keep writing letters. And I'll read them on the air if I'm compelled to. And if you don't want me to, just put a little notation. I mean, I'm not mentioning your name, so nobody knows where it's coming from. So write these letters, you listeners out there, pro, con, or indifferent. Send them to WAAB, attention, don't bring up God. Hey, I can make a future segment out of this, possibly. Huh? Can you imagine that, board guy? Yeah. And I'll read the positive. Well, I guess that was a positive one. Who knows? You decide. Hey, if you're looking for a good teacher on the Bible, then search Pastor Paul Ontario. Just go to his website and you can listen to him review each and every book of the Bible. He's very good. One of the best. I was there listening the other day about Elisha. The book says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, he and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And along their walk, three times Elisha was told to leave before this event took place. But three times he insisted on staying with Elijah to the very end, which he did. The book says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, Elisha replied, I will not leave you. This shows us a little lesson about perseverance. Hey, if you feel strongly about something, then stay at it. Definitely don't give up when met with some resistance. And then Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of his spiritual power before he went upward into heaven. The book says, ask for whatever I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha answered, may I receive a double portion of your spirit? Now, some may say that it was a little bit presumptuous of him to ask that, possibly a little greedy. But he asked anyway, and you know what? A double portion is exactly what he got. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us all to ask big. Don't be so shy and reserved to the point where you're afraid to pray to God for something significantly huge. Because if it coincides with God's will, then you will receive it. Now, if you don't ask, you don't get. Throughout the Bible, it says that we need to pray to the Lord, call out to the Lord, cry out to the Lord. That's why when I meet people who say, yes, I pray, but I pray for others and not myself, I always say back to them, no, that's not the way to do it. That's absolutely the wrong way to do it. You are incredibly missing out on the blessings and gifts of God if you don't ask. So I don't care what it is, ask God, whether it's spiritual, mental, physical, or even financial. God is our Father, and we are His children. Do you think He's going to kick us in the pants and tell us to get lost? He will help us every step of the way if it's in our best interest and the people around us. Ultimately, in order for us to be in a better position to promote the good news, the Word of God, and execute the almighty plan of God the Father. Another book that I heard Pastor Paul explain and describe was the book of Philippians. Yeah, that's it. Philippians. Talking about spreading the word of God to your family, friends, and strangers. And he talked about how some have ulterior motives in doing so. Like these evangelists and pastors who are quick to scan what kind of shoes and watch you have. Because if you have a Rolex, he's thinking big offerings, a big payday. But if you have a watch that when you press a button, it lights up, like I have, you'll be ignored. Now they, along with regular people who discuss God and Jesus of the Bible, sometimes they do it out of rivalry. Like I know something you don't. Showing off their knowledge and education. But you know, knowledge and education doesn't always equate to care, love, and helpful behavior, especially when you're in it to puff yourself up and attempt to make yourself better than. The book says, speak the word of God fearlessly. It is true some preach Christ from motives of envy and rivalry, but others do it out of goodwill. Once again, God seeks the humble and not the arrogant. Because if you're truly humble with a pure heart, then you will have no ulterior motives. Your motive would be to genuinely help another person. Back to the TV evangelist for a second. Sometimes you really don't know the true scoop on where he's coming from. Because the sincere sometimes turn out to be crooked, and the seemingly crooked turn out to be sincere. But Paul writes that it really doesn't matter. The book says, what of it? All that matters is that in any and every way, whether from specious motives or genuine ones, Christ is being proclaimed. And I came to this conclusion even before I read it in the Bible, listening to preachers talk very accurately about what it says. But I knew at the same time they weren't sincere, that they were in it just for the money or other things that they did on the side. But I said to myself, who cares? I don't have time to figure out if somebody's actually sincere or not. I'm just going to take their message, which is very much intact and biblically correct, and move forward molding their instructions into my own behavior. That's what we all need to do. God will take care of these insincere crooks. Actually, anybody who does us harm in any way. Because remember, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God Almighty is in a much better position to discipline and punish those who sin against us, much more than you on your own would be able to do. So just let it go and move ahead. Justice will be served. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. But make no mistake about it, it will be served.
To all those who would take God away, up your giggy.
Who would take our freedom away, up your giggy.
And to all those who would take our guns away, up your giggy.
We here at Don't Bring Up God on WAEB believe in positive change, but not changing from good to bad or godly to evil. No, that's unacceptable, and we will fight back on it.
So to all those who would attempt to brainwash us and to silence us and to establish socialism, we all say,
Up your giggy!
The book says, Christ will always be exalted through me, whether I live or die. That's what Paul wrote. Yeah, that's what we all should be saying to ourselves. Again, don't be so concerned about what others need to do. Worry about yourself and take care of your own beeswax. If everybody would do that, this world would be in such a better place, don't you think? Hey, what is beeswax anyway? Can you wax your car with it or furniture, I'm wondering? The bees give us so much, vital to our nature cycle of life. But what do we give the bees? Besides a strong, piercing stream of raid, could you imagine sitting in your living room and all of a sudden a fire hose, a stream of poison bursts through the window into your face? How would you like it? Paul said, "For to me, life means Christ. Hence, dying is so much gain." Now, Paul here is not saying that he's looking to die immediately. He's just making a claim that being with Christ face to face in God would be the ultimate in life experience. Nothing down here on earth could even come close. And you know, he's right about that.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above and a thing called love. Let me tell you about the stars in the sky and a girl and
that's
a
an oldie but goodie. That's an oldie but goodie. Yes, it is. I recall that when I was 3 years old. I don't know where he pulls these from, but he does. Birds and the bees. Do your parents talk to you about the birds and the bees, or do you have you learned on your own when you were young? And I don't know how many times I've heard parents say, yeah, I talked to my kids about the birds and the bees, and you know what? They knew more than I did. How many times have we heard that? Is that a good thing? You decide. But what Paul just said is something that we need to keep in mind. Because if we don't remind ourselves of the true cause and prize, the new heavens and the new earth, which is the new kingdom to be set up when Jesus comes back a second time, then as a result, we're going to be over-concerned with the worries and anxieties of this present life. It's like when you make a big fuss about getting a nasty splinter in your index finger, and then you fall and break your leg. Are you going to be thinking about the splinter anymore? No, you won't. Well, in a reverse positive way, we think about this promised kingdom rendering many things in this present life insignificant and forgettable. You get what I'm saying here? And then Paul says, I long to be freed from this life and to be with Christ, for this is the far better thing. Now, this statement is basically reinforcing the previous quote that I just read, but a lot of people are misinterpreting this statement when they defend the contention that when we die, we're immediately with Jesus. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. There's another verse in Corinthians that basically says the same thing. We are full of confidence and would much rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So Paul is saying, I long to be free from this life or away from the body and to be with Christ and to be with Christ, home with the Lord. Now, the last part of that being with Christ doesn't have to follow immediately once freed from this life, once you die. That's like when somebody asked me, what sports do I play? And I say basketball and football. Now, does that mean I play basketball and football at the same exact time? Of course it doesn't. It is assumed that I play football in the fall and basketball in the winter. So when I talk about sports and when Paul talks about dying and being with Christ, they very well could be two mutually exclusive events. One happening at a certain time and the other happening much, much later in time. If it weren't the case, it would read like this. I long to be with Christ, which will happen when I'm freed from this life as soon as I die. Now, that would be a different story. Make sense? But we'll find out exactly the procedure once it happens. Can you wait till then? And by the way, I did play football and basketball as a kid. But in high school, I was too small for football. And in basketball, I got cut from two different high schools, Becca and then Liberty. A double dose, like Elisha getting a double portion. But in my case, it was a double portion of disappointment. Talk about putting a damper in your day. You look at the list after practice to see if your name is on it. I must have checked it 8 times thinking I missed it. Yeah, I missed it all right. I missed the whole season. Not on the bench, but in the stands. Poor me. Paul later says that it is much more urgent that I remain alive for your sakes. He said that because his job was to spread the word of God, to educate people on the love and will of God, and to explain who exactly Jesus is, what he said, excuse me, and what he did. Look how polite I am. Excuse me. I wouldn't have done that the first 2 years of starting this show. But yes, explain who Jesus is, and that's everybody's task. That's what we all need to do. Apply to our own life that message, that verse. Because especially when you're older, you may say to yourself that, hey, I lived a long, prosperous life. It's time for me to go. But you know what? It's not all about you. You need to think like Paul did and realize that you're here not necessarily for your own self-gratification any longer, but you're here for other people. Has that ever occurred to you? Don't you think you have some godly knowledge, wisdom, intelligence, and understanding to give to others? To give to your kids or grandkids, friends, and strangers? Don't sit on a pot of gold and not give it out to others. Speak to anybody who will listen and do it in a caring, loving, kind way, which will then be more likely received warmly and gratefully. So, have you still got air in those broken down, wheezing lungs of yours? Do you still got electrical impulses flashing within your cerebral cortex, I wonder? Then if you do, God's not done with you. Maybe you need jumper cables to give you a boost. But look around and see who you can reach. See who you can affect in a positive, godly fashion. That's your job. Yeah, it is. It's all our jobs. Especially if you're retired. Man, when you're retired, you got so much free time on your hands. Don't deny it. Hey, there's no excuse to pitch in. I mean, what are you busy about all day long? Waking up only to get ready to take a nap in 3 hours? Paul wraps up all of this and puts a bow on it. He says, "This fills me with confidence that I will stay with you and persevere with you all for your joy and your progression in the faith." You know, that of all the religions, you think about it, I was thinking about this, pondering it, and I think Joe mentioned it a couple times. Of all the religions, the Bible is the only one that is prophetic, predicts the future. Very interesting. The book says, from the utterance of the word that Jerusalem was to be rebuilt until one who is anointed and a leader, which is Jesus coming, there shall be 7 weeks. Okay, this is like one of the biggest prophecies of all. So with a little bit of mathematical gymnastics, multiplying this and adding that, scholars come up with roughly 490 years between two major events, figuring in different calendars and so forth. What we're left with is precisely 483 years in between these two major events of Jerusalem being rebuilt and Jesus being announced as our Messiah. So what it boils down to is about 455 BC. From there, adding 483 years, you get roughly 29 AD. And it was about that time that Jesus was baptized, or some say it gets you to the point where Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Either way, the timing is absolutely incredible. Prophesied in Daniel on what was to happen. Daniel predicted when Jesus would present himself as a savior on earth on that donkey riding into Jerusalem or the baptism with John. From the time the Medo-Persian kingdom with Xerxes allowed the Judeans to return to Judah and rebuild Jerusalem. I hope you followed all that. I'm not sure I did. The prophecy in the Bible, as I said, is outstanding. It really is. As God many times reveals prior to some big event, like he did when he was talking to Abraham, who was then called Abram. In Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the book says, "Know for certain that your descendants shall be aliens in a land not their own, where they shall be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Yeah, he predicted that way before it happened. God then told Abraham that at the end of this time, they shall leave with great wealth and naturally eventually enter the land that was promised to them, the land of Canaan, which was full of milk and honey, which means it was a very rich, fertile land full of animals and vegetables, fruits, and natural resources. The land of Canaan in the Old Testament was a very important physical land. As time went on, especially in the New Testament, it became a spiritual land, which would be the paradise that Jesus sets up when he comes a second time, a new land that believers will enter. There will be no danger, do not enter signs for us. You know, most of the times on the other side of that sign that says danger, do not enter, there's never danger. They're just trying to scare you so you don't enter. They think just because you're going to falsely mention danger that I'm going to run the other way. No, that doesn't work anymore. You listening, government? Listening, no doubt, as we speak?
Stop looking for someone to help, save, and rescue you. The lifeguard chair is empty. Stop waiting for the phone call that never comes. And when it does, it's the wrong number. Stop looking down, shaking your head, asking, why me? When the correct answer is, why not you?
Yo, we all need to lift our heads upward and call on God, just as the teacher calls on the student and the football coach calls the plays. We need to call on God so God in turn will call out to us.
Remember, David killed Goliath because God was with him, even though it was seemingly impossible. It would be like you body slamming Andre the Giant with a bad back. Would never happen. You'd need a crane.
But with God, all things are possible. So keep drifting towards your spiritual side with the love of Jesus, which you can go get yourself some from the Don't Bring Up God show on WAEB, Sunday mornings from 8 to 9.
In Deuteronomy, God reminded the Israelites not to stray from him as they're about to enter the promised land of Canaan. The book says, therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good country. Keeping the Ten Commandments was crucial in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, as they were mentioned many times. Now, the New Testament does render some of the things in the Old Testament obsolete, but if these things are mentioned in the New Testament, like the Ten Commandments, including keeping the Sabbath, then they are forever commandments for us to keep. And it's not an option. They're called commandments for a reason, because we're commanded to obey. And as we know, it's not only the Ten Commandments, but also the statutes and doctrines that God and Jesus enumerate. The book says, be careful not to forget the Lord your God by forgetting his commandments and decrees and statutes, which I enjoin on you today. You see what this verse is saying? If we don't obey the direction of God, but still profess that we're Christians, then we're just lying to ourselves. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will happily obey him. Now, if you're still wanting to do your own thing because you think you know how life works apart from the Bible, then that's your decision. Just don't be surprised at the consequences to come, either in this life or the next. Again, it's all about either being humble or arrogant. If you follow Jesus despite your own feelings and thoughts, then that's being humble, because you're going to follow God no matter what. No matter what you say, no matter what your parents might say, your family or best friends, it's just not going to matter, because God always comes first. That's where we have to be. We have to be that certain. Hey, we got a call at 833-707-7900. Who's this? Go ahead. You're on. Go ahead. Yoo-hoo.
I have a comment.
Okay, hi.
Okay, hi. I have a comment. Last Sunday, you made a comment about the little piece of land not belonging to the Jewish people. You said, well, that was written so long ago. You referred to Genesis. I think you had a guest on.
Yes, okay.
Be wrong. Yeah, so if you're so it just clearly says, in my opinion, that the land does belong to the Jews, that little strip of land. But you're saying, well, that was so long ago, and it's like you're picking and choosing what's in the word.
Well, 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, it definitely applied. But, you know, there was a covenant made with God and Israel, and Israel, time and time again, broke the covenant. They were the chosen people for a reason. They were chosen to accept God and spread the word of God. And then when Jesus, same thing. And they never did that. So to me, that whole thing is null and void. And it's more of a heavenly spiritual thing now than a physical piece of land.
Well, okay. I mean, you have a right to your thoughts, obviously, and you know the Bible, but then you're going to pick and choose what. See, to me, it's clear that they're still the chosen people, even though, like you said, they walked away, they were naughty. I don't know. It just seems to me that you, I don't know, it made me not want to listen to you anymore.
Well, hey, and that's your choice, and I respect your opinion, but I'm just being honest. Time and time again, God says that he shows no favoritism. And when you're bringing up there the chosen people, that makes them better than. And I just don't see it. Paul talks about in the New Testament that a descendant of Abraham is one who believes in Jesus. So we're all descendants of Abraham. We're all God's chosen people. And if you don't agree with that, and again,
oh, no, I do. I don't think, I mean, I'm not Jewish, but as reading through the scriptures, it just seems that common theme is that the land is, as I'm reading, it's for the Jewish people.
Did Jesus ever talk about the land of Canaan and the importance of keeping that land? I mean, he talked about the house of Israel, But that's more of a people instead of the land. I mean, if Jesus didn't stress it, then how important could it be?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's a way we look at what we're, as we're learning, well, speaking for me, that's what I'm learning, that's...
And we've learned that all our life, for sure. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I think what I talked about is a clearer explanation of it all. And again, I respect your opinion, and I understand. I hope you continue to listen. I mean, look at it this way. When people disagree with me, think of all the things we've agreed upon over the years. Hundreds, maybe thousands.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with almost everything
right.
you said.
So why would you stop listening on one or two things that you may not disagree with? You know what I mean?
Well, that's true too. I'm not saying it just made me, it like hit me funny like that you said that. And then all with this controversy now and all the
right.
the you know what's going on, and that's the reason. It's almost, in my opinion, I just think that the Palestinians, Hamas, whatever, they just don't want Jews to have, they don't want the Jewish people to even exist, is what I believe.
Okay. I kind of hear that on both sides, but go ahead.
Well, I'm just, that's what I think, and I just think that fueled a little bit of one side or the other, but I guess I could step back and say, oh, well, I'm not against any people. The people getting hurt and all this are the innocent.
Right.
People who are doing nothing, just like when you look what's going on in our government. It's our federal government is it's just there's a few people that want the power, and you know it's the people that suffer for that. So I see that on both sides, but I do I don't know. I'm going to have to really research that, because if you're not you, but in generally speaking, if you're picking out one thing that you're not agreeing with, because it's, if you're taking the Bible by the word, and then you're thinking, well, that was so many years ago, and it's a strip of land, and it's, to me, that was a physical promise as well as a spiritual commitment.
What you just said.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to... I guess study more and try and be more.
Yeah,
you know.
We're all in the same boat. We're trying our best to understand and learn. And one last thing, at the Last Supper, God talked about the old covenant, the promise is no more, in lieu of the new covenant. He stressed that at the Old Testament, at the Last Supper before he died. No more old covenant. Now there's a new covenant with Jesus. So.
Well, that's true, and that's what the baptism was. You know, they were washed away their old, you know, back in the John the Baptist. Because I was thinking today, there's a lot of people I know that are Christians that weren't baptized. And, I mean, I'm a former Roman Catholic, so now I'm just a non-denominational. I go to a basic Bible church. But I understand that, too, that there's, you know, some symbolisms, and then well, we were taught you had to be baptized to be
right
in God's family, which now I'm seeing no that's not so if you believe on the word. So I mean, that was symbolic. So I don't know, there's a lot, there's a really, you could read it and read it and reread it and just see so much. It's a lot to take in,
but we both agree that Jesus is the way to get to paradise. Right?
I believe that. I believe that.
And that's the most important thing. Hey, thank you for your call. I enjoyed talking with you.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we were talking about humility earlier. When we're humble, we know that God's in control. Anything great that happens does not come from us. That's why we don't take credit for anything. Do we get that? The book says, otherwise, you might say to yourself, it is your own power and the strength of my own heart that has obtained for me this wealth. Remember then, it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to acquire wealth. Naturally, in society, we're trained to take credit for everything under the sun because we want to be patted on the back, don't we? And told that we're so great and talented and special. Really? When I know somebody's looking for credit or applause for something that they did, I always give them the opposite. as they shrink more and more like the Wicked Witch of the West. Help me, I'm melting. It's quite sad to see that desperation looking for that credit that never comes. Hey, let's remember we are special in God's eyes and not our own. Because if we evaluate our life, past, present, and future, we know for certain that we are the last ones to be put on a pedestal with our lifetime of sin and disobedience. It's only when we have a change of heart that things change for us in our favor. Things begin to happen in accordance to God's will through the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we deny and reject Jesus, then none of this will take place. We will be wandering around aimlessly for our entire life, going nowhere. We got a call at 833-707-7900. Who's this?
Robert, good morning.
What's up?
Hey, this is Rudy. For all, you know, for the very nice, smart lady that's talking about that strip of land belonged to the Jews. Give her a little history lesson and do a Bible lesson. I'm not even that knowledgeable, but, you know, just think about it with common sense and make it explain everything. Maybe, let's say, 5,000 years ago, you know, they were, you know, most cultures, they didn't have one God. You know how it is. They used to believe in gods.
A lot of them.
And God has, yes, and God has to choose somebody, and he chose... they weren't necessarily, you know, because they're, you know, they're Jews, whatever. They chose those people that live in this land.
The Hebrew, and the Hebrews and Israelites.
All of them, they were Hebrew, yes, and or, you know, Aramaic or Arabs, that, the people that live in the Middle East, specifically. Let's focus on this point specifically. The people that from the Middle East to be from, they were from this land, right? And, you know, the rest of the story. And he chose one of them, not all of them, too. That's, all right, to be his messenger. All right, you know, then we'll move forward a little bit here. They were supposed to obey him, like you said, and they did not. They broke his covenant. And you know that, too, right?
Yes.
So let's agree on these points here. And then what did God tell them? He's going to send them Jesus, right?
Okay.
And they rejected him and killed him, right?
Yes.
So, and I'm going to agree with this lady is that, let's say that God did say this strip of land is only belonged to the Jews or the people that they were Jews at the time and lived there. And as we know for sure, most of them became Christian because Jesus came and they believed in Christianity. And after that, when Islam came and they conquered Palestine, most of them, they were Christian or Jews, they became Muslims, whether by sword or by fate. And they all, I agree with her, they all have the right to be there. Forward, we go to 19th century. What if it somebody like Netanyahu and these people, that they're not Mediterranean, they're not from the Middle East, whether they're Jews or whatever, I don't care. What right they have, or German, what right has to do, how they have the right to be in Palestine? Because they adopted the Jewish faith, you just have to be, you could be in somebody else's land.
Yeah, it's a little confusing for sure.
Not confusing, Robert. It's just that's how it is. Because Hitler killed the people of the Judeo faith, it has nothing to do with the Jews that they were in the Middle East. It's just like you. We were Christian from the Middle East. We probably were Jewish from the Middle East from the get-go. So if somebody like me, I want to become atheist, I still have the right to be in Palestine. But if somebody from Germany wanted to be Jews, does not have the right to be in Palestine.
Yeah, because you can become a Jewish person overnight and just, you know.
Yes, that doesn't make you Aramaic. That doesn't make you Hebrew.
And a physical descendant of God, of Abraham.
Like somebody, you know, believe in the Greek mythology, that does not make them Greek.
Good point. All right.
You know,
enough with this
crap, man. They could believe whatever they want. They could, you know, they could convince themselves that they're right. They know they're not right. I don't mind any Jewish. I know a lot of Jewish men. I know Moroccan Jewish. I play for parties for Jewish people. They all Arabs. They all speak different languages. They all from the Middle East. That's different than the one that somebody like American, German, or whatever going to live in Israel. There's a lot of Jews. They Arabs. They speak Hebrew. They speak all kind of different languages, but they really from Palestine, from Israel, really from Israel.
Yeah.
Not somebody adopted the Jewish faith.
All right. I gave you 4.5 minutes, and fair is fair. I appreciate all the comments that we get. Thank you for the call. The book says, but if you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, serving and worshiping them, I forewarn you this day that you will perish utterly like the nations which the Lord destroyed before you. So shall you too perish for not heeding the voice of the Lord your God. So in this verse, God talks about individuals and nations. God uses the word destroy. When you hear that, do you think that everything is okay no matter what you do? Because if you take things in your own hands apart from God like people do, you will eventually be destroyed. That's not me saying it. It's God of the Bible saying it. Now, do you believe that or not? Do you say to yourself, oh, God's just trying to scare us a little bit. He won't really do that stuff he promised. Well, you keep believing that if you want. But is that wise? If you have a spiritual side to you, you'll know that your thinking is very dangerous and it's not going to end well. It just won't. And don't try to pretend and fake that you believe in God of the Bible and follow Jesus while at the same time hide the real you. Is that what you do? Please don't. Just stop the charade and sincerely accept Jesus for who he is, what he said, and what he did. You do that, and you will be truly wise and save your life at the same time now and forever. Let's not fake it. The book says, you hypocrites, how accurately did Isaiah prophesize about you when he said, this people pays me lip service, but their heart is far from me. They do me empty reverence, making dogmas out of human precepts. Hey, what's a dogma? That's a funny word, don't you think? It reminds me of magma squirting out of a volcano, similar to the juice when squeezing a big bulbous red pimple. Now, don't get grossed out by that. It's a normal teenage function that most of us went through. I remember using tissue paper and squeezing until it finally burst like an inner tube, shrinking to just the outer shell. Okay, that was gross. So I looked up the word dogma, and it says it's a doctrine related to matters such as morality and faith set forth in an authoritative manner by a religion. So it's something held as an established opinion, but are these dogmas man-made or God-made? That is the question. Because if they're man-made, you better be really careful. Some religions claim that man-made dogmas are just as important, if not more, than the dogmas of the Bible from God Almighty. And I don't go for that at all. I definitely don't swing both ways, so to speak, because I, in general, don't trust man as far as I can throw them, especially Nimrod leaders who claim that they know and we don't, pulling something out of their hat or out of the air in some haphazard fashion? Why do you think there's thousands of religions in the world? Well, it's because schmo charlatans are trying to gain an audience. They'll take a little bit of truth and mix it with their own subtle lies to trick you. And most of them, when you get right down to it, want nothing to do with Jesus as our role model and savior of the world. These overweight, sloppy charlatans want to become their own savior. Are they out of their ever-loving minds? I think that they are. And we got a call. Who's this?
Steven.
What's happening?
Okay, originally I wanted to call just to clarify Rudy's point, but I just want to make a point about dogma. There's dogmas in, like, man today with climate change, and their narratives change in that dogma. 1969, I had a weekly reader that told me that there was a coming ice age. They had to change their narrative when the temperatures began warming. In the Bible, God's word does not change. It is true for all people, all places, all time, where we get objective truth from. People no longer go with objective truth. They pursue their, quote, own truth. That's the problem. The truths of God to protect his creation, thou shalt not kill, when in time should that be allowed? It is being allowed in many cities today by a lot of district attorneys, and that is why our society is crumbling. We need to adhere to the word of God.
I agree. I can't understand why people think we can throw out the Ten Commandments and the statutes and doctrines, because there's other things in there that's not in the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments written in stone for a reason, right?
Right. And that's why mankind, who is flawed, that's why they have to change their narrative to make their so-called truth truthful. And it's not, because it can be tested and defied.
We got another call. Who's this?
Hey, morning, it's Joe.
All right, Joe, I'm not going to debate with you, but I will give you 1 minute.
Why not?
Go. Go.
I'll have to send you verses on that stuff.
All right, go,
like
go, go, go.
The Bible is the only holy book with prophecy fulfilled word for word. That Daniel 9 prophecy is awesome. I encourage people to look it up. Chuck Misler does a good job on YouTube, the Daniel 9 prophecy. But Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies like no other holy book, because the Bible is the only one that God inspired, nothing else. And it tells us, repent of sin, put your faith in Jesus as Lord, God, and Savior. The old covenant was under the law. The new covenant were under grace. But he does have promises for peoples. He gave peoples their lands. And that's the problem. So, I mean, I'd like to send you all the verses on it. You can look at it. Some things are irrevocable, but he did give promises to Israel. When they obeyed him, they could occupy the land. When they disobeyed, they were exiled. But those are forever promises. So
okay,
that's pretty much it.
I appreciate your comment. Thanks for the call. We got another call. Who's this?
Good morning, Robert.
What's up?
How many Bibles have been written since the time Christ walked on this planet, and how many callers know what the oldest Bible is? Depending on the scribe writing the Bible and the scribe's agenda, they can change one letter, which will change the whole word, change the whole paragraph. It's known, it's a fact, that a lot of these preachers are hypocrites. They're part of the powers that undermine Christ. And if you don't believe it, look it up. Study Schofield. Study some of these people that got involved with religion and changed it. Now, you have to ask yourself why, when Christ went into the temple, did he also whip and scourge out the scribes? And you can say these scribes are the same as our medias today, which facilitate crime. They're the right arm of the politicians that are trying to undermine this country. There's more than just a Bible. There are agendas behind who writes them. So that's my message today. And thank you, Robert,
for the program. Thank you. Unfortunately, anything that man touches, we corrupt it to some degree or another. So some things in the Bible, you got to take with a grain of salt and do your research and understand the overall perspective, because that's what you got to do if you want an accurate depiction of the Word of God. Now, the original manuscripts were perfect. Copies for 2,000 years, not so much, although I still believe 95% of it is accurate. Okay, quite the show. Write me letters if you want. All roads lead back to God. Tyler, we love you. We'll see you again.
Radio 790 WAEB, Allentown. Listen on your free iHeartRadio app for all your music, radio, and podcasts.